I help a lot of people their first dance, first time they went in, you know, my brother and then my sons, you know, I show them the instruction, you know, on what to do, you know, and my son dancing there, I put them through that. But there's a woman's role in that too, you know, in a sun dance. Your brother or whoever is in there, your brother, your son, your husband, or your uncle, your relations, you know, you support them from the outside, you make your prayers, you gather willows, you know, for them, you know, and you don't cut them with a knife, you have to break them off. You do that before the sun comes up, or when the sun comes up, you'd be out there cutting them, make your prayers out there for them so they stay fresh, you know, and you wrap them up in a sheet. You know, we wrap them up, don't handle them as them. And if you're on your moon, you don't do that. And, you know, if you're pregnant, you don't do that. If you just had a baby, you don't do that. They can, you know, they don't dance, and they're not dancing anyway then. You can't do it for your relation, you know. So you're just out of it for a while there. So you that's your role of doing that, you know. You have to, before they go in, we usually have a feast, you know, like a supper for them, like the Last Supper, like the Christ had Last Supper, you know, we have a supper in. Well, that's the way we do it. I don't know how other families do it, but a lot of people come to our camp from all nationalities. Sometimes they bring food, you know, and then we make a big, what they, we feed them is that I make them. Tortillas without salt. It's got to be without salt. You know, we cook it over the fire on the coals. We don't, you put it in a pan or something. We cook it over the coals. And we cook the meat over the coals too, you know, like steaks, you know. And then we have a soup that we make, just plain soup, meat soup too, you know. Maybe add a few potatoes to, but not the, all the vegetables, just plain like that, and coffee and watermelon. But people will bring a lot of stuff like salad and different kinds too, you know, but that's the main thing, you know, we bring. And they'll bring people that's been coming from over, you know, from their different nationalities. They're not all Indians, you know. A lot of Indians will come, different tribe, but a lot of Anglos come to my camp, you know, and they all know, and they'll bring stuff from there, you know, fresh fruit or something like that, you know, make fruit salad or something like that. They bring all those stuff, you know. So we have a big, try to put them all, as many as we can, the men, the sun dance, you know, the men folks, we try to put them in that teepee. And we have a lot of this cattails that we spray it out under there and put our tablecloth. And we make prayer for that last meal. We pick one to make that prayer, and then they all get served. And then couldn't get in, then we have a big table in that shade house. And we feed the children and the women. Or some of those that's coming in late, you know, we feed them too. And then by that time they're through, they get ready. And they smudge them off before they go and take their last drink of water, you know, and they go then.
You smudge
then
them?
Our part is to feed them, and, you know, like that, and see that they get ready in there. And we take their bedrolls, or they pick somebody to take their bedrolls up. You know, they have to take their turn in their bedrolls a bit. In the morning, it's a women's role, the wife or the sister, or if they pick somebody to take care of them. In the mornings, you get this wet towel, warm towel, dip half of it in a warm towel, and they wring it out, all the moisture, as much as of that water you can out of it. They wrap it up, take it up there, and they wipe their face off and clean up themselves in the morning. Or the paint, that's a, you know, it's your support and take care of them. But whatever their needs are, you know. And then on the last day or the day before they're going to come out, then they'll tell you what they want. Some want lemonade, some want 7-Up, some want ice water, some want iced tea, some want these, you know, that's what they want. You know, watermelon, maybe. And then we prepare food again for that. But usually, you know, people come. People always helpful. Somebody will come and say, I'll take care of that, you know, I'll take care of this and I'll bring that, you know. And somebody will make the fry bread or tortillas, you know, and then we have one big feast again when they come out, you know, we all eat, feed them, and then we all lot of people coming
and
in.
And the women stayed down in the camp.
And, yeah, we came. The women stayed at the camp where they can stay, go home, or clean up. Mm-hmm. But make sure that your hair's not wet when you go back to the, when you go over there, you know, make sure it's dry. You don't go right after shower, so make sure your hair's dry before you go over there to, you know, not wet and like that. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that you be clean, you know, like that. Because after the second day, you can really, your senses of smell and your sight, it's real powerful, you know. You can, that gets to you, because I know, because I've been through the sun dancing. And the way I went was, I was all crippled up. In this house, long time ago, we used to live here a long time ago, too. And I got sick, and they put me over there. I couldn't move. I was all crippled up. Couldn't walk. And they brought me in here. This woman that came in, she was married to Cheyenne man way before he passed away. And they came before Easter, it was. And they found me in bed, and my husband, the same one I have today, and said, and he went to work, and they came and said, "What's wrong with this sister?" He said, I don't know, I can't move. He said, "Well, we're going to have ceremony for you tonight. Right then, get yourself how you ever you're going to move." I couldn't barely, you know, every time somebody would make a move on me, it hurt so bad. But anyway, they got me up here. Put me a lot of pillows in that car, but my road was all bumpy, you know, and it seemed like he hit the potholes. I said, "Well, can't you miss him?" He said, I'm trying. And finally they got in and they went and laid me down. I said, "No, I'm gonna sit over there where the corner." This old man came from Oklahoma and he sat over there next to me. A lot of people came. We used to have a lot of Oklahoma people staying with us, you know. We sometimes do, you know, they spend summer, year, months, you know, like that. A lot of people have been stayed with us, you know. So that's where that first thing came was that when my grandfather came out of from the east in my vision, you know, I was sitting there through the ceremony and towards morning. Somebody came in here and made that fire over here and they worked and told me, "Get up now and bless yourself." See, I hadn't never walked. I hadn't gotten up by myself. And I got up. I stood over there by the fire, by that coals where they have the altar made in the middle. Everybody's sitting like that, you know. And I stood up and I walked over there and I went, and they all looked up and I went like that. That means put cedar on there, you know, so I can smudge myself. And there was the man, my husband, and that. Shine, and they lit it for the cedar bed. Finally, they found it. And imagine, it was just before Easter, and I seen, in my vision, I seen that Easter lilies all growing around that altar. And that's when that voice told me he wasn't going to live till Easter. But they saved my life. So I walked all the way around. You know, we do that, you know, we circle around this way. Clockwise all the time. In any kind of ceremony, you move clockwise. Never this way, you move clockwise. That's the way life goes, flow of life goes clockwise. So I sat down again. And that's where that my grandfather came after that vision coming. And he put his hand on me and told me, "Have they forgotten about me, you know? I still, around there, my spirit down there where you used to play when you were a little girl, you must come this afternoon. About 3 o'clock," he said, "and I'll be there." He said, when the birds will be singing, and the wind will be blowing, but when you will know when I'm there, my presence, when everything goes quiet," he said, "silence, you know, I'm gonna bring your tobacco then and make talk to me then." You know, I did. It was exactly the way he said. There was birds, wind blowing. And I sat down there, and all of a sudden, just total silence, quiet, no breeze, nothing. And I started crying too, you know. I started talking to him, I took my smoke and started crying at him. And after that, I started dreaming of Sundance. And I never seen a woman Sundance before that. And that's about 25 years ago. 24 years ago, 26 years ago when I had that first dream, 26 years ago, and I didn't go for 3 years, the fourth year, I was getting sick, you know, I was getting real stiff again, and I had asthma. The thing would whistle, you know, like that. I'd be breathing, but that thing would whistle. So my husband said, maybe you should go do what your grandpa wants you to do. Then I started, and I was working at it. Even if I was like that, I was working for the government. Sometimes I'd wake up all crippled up. But the girls that I worked with at the girls' dormitory, they used to be really nice to me. They said, no, just go sit down, Mrs. Groves. We'll take care of it for you. And they do the work for me before they went to school, you know. And that's the way I made it, you know. But then that dream told me I had to quit. In April, I gave 3 days' notice, and they asked me, how come you want to quit? And I said, well, I have to. The dream told me I had to take my shoes off, put moccasins on, put a dress on. You just got this month to do it in, and I started dreaming then how I was supposed to make the dress and how I was supposed to prepare. And I went by my dreams. Everything went by my dream. Time came, I had, when they told me, today you leave this morning. We heard they were having it in Idaho. I went up there. I didn't know what I was getting into. I'd never been to a woman. I've never seen a women's senate, but I know about the man part, you know. I put them through, you know, those things. But actually being on the other side was a total experience for me. But I went through it, you know.
Are there other women that dance? Are there other women that dance?
Uh-huh. There's more women than men up there sometimes. A lot of young ones, a lot of them that started out then, they're, you know, they've got grandchildren now too, you know. They're still going too, you know, some of them, you know. And around here, nobody from this tribe, no woman had ever danced from here, or a Toyaak either. I was the first one that went, and after that, a lot of them started in then.
Other Southern Ute ladies.
But they're from all different tribes come in, you know, like that. And I had my friend up there, you know, that was from Native American Church. We stayed with her, you know, and she cooked for me before I went in. And then she'd cook for me when I come out, you know, like that through the years. And then her husband passed away. And I still stay with her, you know. She expects me to come at sundown time. She's waiting already for me, you know. I dare not go someplace else because she's been my friend for so many years, you know. You know, she's that respect for me that, you know, that just expects me to be there, you know.
What tribe is she?
She's a Shoshone Bannock from Idaho, Fort Hall, from there. So that, through that, I've learned, I've seen a lot of visions, a lot of dreams, a lot of things. I've learned a lot through that, Sweat Lodges, and through the Native American Church, and through my vision quest, you know, through our other medicine ways of doing things. It's been a really wonderful life, you know, for me. And
you did a vision quest?
Yeah, I've been on vision, but I haven't gone for the last 5 years, so I don't know. The couple that's taking me down to Pennsylvania, my grandson, he's a Shawnee Indian, and they're thinking of, there's some women that want to go on vision quest before the women's circle and stuff. I was telling my husband this morning, you know, I was thinking something. I said, if I'm going to spend time over there, I think I'll go on a vision quest too. I haven't been on one for a long time. I said, maybe I should go on one while I'm in the, be some experience for out east, eastern part of the country. I said,
yes.
You know, and, yeah, well, there, I enjoy the people out there because they're real nice, you know, take me out, took me to New York, out to Atlantic City. Big shocked when they see me. They said, you stay right here and we're going over here for a little while in that
casino.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I said, okay. As soon as they go outside, they got a bit quarter, you know. I thought it was worth the quarters. And there I am putting it. I said, why just do one? I said, let's put some in there, put one in there, pull them at the same time. And I keep looking to see if they're coming. I was going to quit if they.
They caught me at it.
Grandma, what are you doing? What does it look like I'm doing? I
said, I'm wasting money.
Oh, dear.
But I made a cup full of quarters, you know, like that.
You did?
See, I made something, I said, you know. And they had a hard time dragging me off. They used to laugh about that. They took me to Tiffany's, too. And they always laugh about that, gosh. You know, that I, you know, just to see what it looks like. Prices and stuff. Oh. I said, oh, Grandma didn't want to look at those low price stuff. She was over there with the big high price stuff and then said, I want to see that. And they told her, $10,000. Oh, well, how about that one? You know, like she's going to. Laugh about that, you know. They take me to out to the, you know, the high price restaurant. I didn't know nothing on that menu. All I'd seen was that soup part, you know. I knew what that soup jour or something like that, you know. I said, oh, I know it's a soup little thing. I said, here, you guys order for me. You sure? Yeah, or anything, whatever you think is you want. They all look at each other. And, you know, it's one of these high class restaurants. You know.
Yeah.
So they ordered, when it came, it tasted a little bit. He said that it tastes like liver, fish livers, I said, you know. Is it fish livers? You know, it's fishy, it tastes fishy. No, they told me, Grandma, fish don't have livers, you know. But it tastes good, you know.
Was it good?
Yeah.
What was it?
You know, afterwards they said, shall we tell her what she ate? Yeah, I said, please tell me what it is. Sure you would have known? Yeah. Snails, it
was. Oh, escargot.
Oh, my gosh.
And they always used to make fun of it. You should have seen Grandma's face when they threw it. If it wasn't high class thing, I think she would have threw up on that table.
They are good, though, aren't they?
They were good,
they
though.
Are good.
That was experience, though, you know.
Lots of garlic.
Yeah, I liked it, you know. It was all right, you know. But they were just making fun, you know. They say, and then she would have thrown up if she'd been with Tori. And she hadn't seen her face, you know. And they, you know, and they'd hold on to me and say, don't you lose her now. They'd take me downtown, because she gets lost. They ever told them, she gets lost even in the city market here in Durango, so you better watch her, you know. And they, the first time I flew for myself out of here, went to Denver, and you know how Denver Airport is, and then went on straight, and good thing they met me over in New York, you know. Coming, and I didn't call home for a long time, and I guess they all started wondering, I wonder if she ever made it, because she didn't give us no place to call her when she, whether she got there or not. Well, you know, she might be lost somewhere in some airport, you know. So she don't call, you know. Whatever happened to her, everyone's worried about
Philadelphia Airport.
Yeah, and coming back, you know, I came back, but they gave me the red carpet treatment, I said, you know.
That's
got off at Denver, I said, and then I, sometimes when I travel my leg, you know, sitting alone, I can't walk too good, you know. I have a hard time carrying my suitcase, you know, not my suitcase, my bag, you know, my overnight bag. So the steward said, hey, wait a minute, I'll get you a wheelchair. So they pushed me around and put me up in the bus, took me to there, and,
great.
And they called ahead over there and said, I needed a wheelchair, so they're here, they're wheeling me, you know, and those guys are supposed to meet me there, hey, you know, I go by waving at them.
Oh my
God. That was funny, you know.
Wonderful.
And the little kid used to laugh about it. Do you know what she did? You know why they pulled her on the wheelchair? She said, I used to tell them. Then I was on the plane, a flight, I said, they asked me what I wanted to drink, and I wanted tomato juice. I said, do you have tomato juice? And they say, sure. Said, no. I said, but we have this that we mix with Bloody Mary. So I said, so they gave me that. I said, taste a little bit of it, and if it's all right, we'll give you a glass of this. So it's all right. And she didn't say that. I said, she drank Bloody Marys on the airport. That's why they had to put her on the wheelchair, because she couldn't walk. Mom couldn't walk. My son, her mom couldn't walk. She got drunk on them. So they had to put her on the wheelchair. Make fun of me like that, you know. That's why they gave her that. They thought
you like to travel.
Yeah, I like to travel.
Yes, I do too.
But that ride across the Pacific Ocean was something else.
Too long.
Long ways. You know. Even then, you know, when we got over there, my legs swelled up, you know, because of circulation and not sitting like this, you know. They gave me a wheelchair. That's what they got us to. You know, and they never checked the whole groups, because they would pull me around a wheelchair and they said they'd help me go through. You don't have to wait in this customs coming back. And saying, we never went through the custom. There was lines and lines of, we would run and they'd say, you guys go ahead now.
That's great.
And the people that I was with said, hey, what's happening? You know, I said, I told you we're going to take care of it, you know. I already made prayers for it. We're going to make it back again. Nobody ever opened their suitcases. Nobody ever, all they did was check our passports and push us on through.
Yeah.
They said, hey, this never happened before, you know. I said, well, grandfather, take care of us, you know, like that. I already made my prayers. Because we had our eagle feathers in my box, you know, like what I use for healing things, you know. The other guy in the world, just two of us Indians, you know, one was an animal medicine man. And we had a lot of fun over there.
It sounds neat.
It was something to see.
Yes. Very different.
Yeah. It's like went to Canada too one year, you know. Just me and my other friend from Oklahoma, she drove. We went to Old Mexico first and we drove. Came back home, stayed one night, and we went on. Stayed in Idaho with my friend. And we went on up and stayed close to the border in Montana with some friends. Then we went on to Canada and met my friend up there. I have a friend, two women friends up there. We went over to see way out over in the reserves, you know. They're having Sundance, but theirs is totally different, you know. But anyway, we had a lot of fun too. They always want me to come back, bring some more Pendletons and bring some Mexican Serapis. We brought a lot of stuff from Old Mexico. We sold it up there.
Yes.
And we traded, and they always say, bring some more turquoise, and you know, yes. They've been asking me to come back. One of these days, I'll make a trip up there again. And I keep, we don't communicate, but once in a while, you know, with my friend, but we keep in touch with all my friends, and a lot of them know I don't care, don't much for letter writing. Once in a while, I'll get them. Then I'll write 5 letters a day, or 5 letters in the evening, and 5 letters in the morning, and I get rid of it, and then I sit back a while.
Yes. Oh, I'm terrible that way.
I'm terrible about it.
Bertha, we've kept you.
Okay. So that's it. What time is it?
It's 10:30.
Oh.
Good. We came at 8.
All right. Well, I hope you got what you wanted.
More?
You know, is there anything else you want to ask me?
Do you have anything else?
Something.
No.
No? Well, I don't know. What I want to do is